Here.
Liz. We are missing Chris Slusser. Chrissy Dutton, thank you.
Ann Gorman.
Who both said they would not be able to make it. So, all right. I'll entertain a motion to approve minutes from the November 7th, 2016 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. I'll also entertain a motion to approve the minutes from December 12th meeting, 2016.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any public comment? All right, no public comment. Approval of reports, being as there is none, move on to new business. Photos of the grants committee. I believe that would just happen. Bills and purchase requests, everybody signed. Did everybody get a copy of these by email or the purchase orders? Or by mail?
Susan was supposed to send it to me.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. All right. Oh, sorry, motion. I get a motion on the bills, thank you.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second it.
All right.
Hope someone gives someone this.
Yeah.
All in favor?
No.
No.
Roll call, sorry, I'm spending money.
Yes.
I forget. Roll call, Gussie.
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Helen?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
All right. All right, administrator update.
That's education training.
Employment training.
Employment training, sorry, MCTV.
Good afternoon. Again, my name's Matt Jones, I'm with employment training, this is Sarah Ray. Just to give you a brief update on some of our activities. I'm sure everybody's heard about the closings, especially in the Alton area with the Kmart stores and the Macy's. We are working with the state to provide what are called rapid response services for those closings. So we go in and try to talk to the employees about their unemployment insurance, job search and retraining services are available. United Way comes in, the state insurance program, so we're coordinating those efforts right now. Actually, there's two Kmart stores, Alton and Granite City, as well as the Macy's in Alton. And there's been a lot of closings, smaller closings as well. Wood River Hardware is closing down. There are a couple of restaurants in Alton that are closing, so we continue to provide those rapid response services to those employees. We also continue to provide job search and training services to the affected employees at U.S. Steel, American Alton Steel, Amsted Rail, and the other smaller agencies and organizations associated with those companies. Just as an example of how much this has impacted the area, last month we got our bill from SWCC, Southwest Illinois College, and just for U.S. Steel employees, our bill was $300,000. That's just to cover tuition, fees, books, et cetera, for those employees. So, a lot of people laid off, but they are seeking the services and getting the services as well.
Are they starting to hire back at American Steel?
The Hot Strip, they brought some of those folks back. Somewhat temporary, they're not sure how long they're gonna be back. Then they're faced with a decision of, do I continue to go to school? Do I take the call back? The law allows them to refuse the call back, but can they refuse a $30 an hour job? If they keep going with training, so. So our counselors are working with those folks to walk them through those steps.
About
200? About 209, yeah. I think about 180 summer steel workers, the rest are hot inside general laborers.
Yeah, that was a blessing to all of us.
Yeah, but hopefully it's a sign of good things to come, but we haven't heard anything more.
What was the other store besides Macy's at Alton Square that was closing?
Two Kmarts.
Oh, two Kmarts?
Yeah, Alton and Granite.
Is the whole mall in general? Because I know I've heard Chesterfield and certain ones are, well.
Well, that's the last, the only anchor store left in Alton is JCPenney now, as well as a Ross store. So, JCPenney supposedly is not doing very well as well.
Mr. Fassin, like that.
Matt, I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing anything about the possibility? I know one of the restaurants in Alton shut down because of tax problems.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possibility that that could reopen again?
Not through the city of Alton. I think through their contacts, I don't think they anticipate it happening. For example, Rip City had renewed their liquor license and everything. They seemed to be doing well, and they just closed down. So we tried to reach out to the corporate office to get a hold of those employees as well.
This Kmart in Atlantic, is it actually closed?
It's closed.
It's closing by the end of March.
Oh, yeah.
That's a shame.
I think they're shuttling all the stores.
The one and all two.
Yeah.
My favorite.
They're all going to one.
Yeah, they'll both be closed by the end of March.
Yeah, we lost one in Collins. Well, we lost that a few years ago. They're tearing it down now, so.
Is a lot of it have to do with people shopping online, do they think?
I think it's that. I think to hear the mayor of Alton especially talk, it's corporate. It's decisions that were made 2, 3, 4 years ago for downsizing. So they're just taking, the brick and mortar stores are going away. So our job is to go in and talk to those employees and try to find out what we can do to help them look for a job or train for a new career, whatever it might be to help them get, you know, back employed. Any other questions about those? A few positive things. We continue to work with the Leadership Council, Manufacture Your Future and Craft Your Future campaign. That's to promote awareness about manufacturing and the craft trades. So we're continuing to do that. That's a regional effort. Both Sarah and I have been involved with that. We're also working with the Leadership Council to try to work with the logistics industry on some immediate workforce needs. So we're going to be having a meeting this week about their immediate workforce needs. We continue to work with our board, the Workforce Innovation Board, as well as DCEO and Ameren on our business retention and expansion efforts, which community development has been involved with that as well. That's the idea, is to grow your business base and also look for not only retaining your business base but expanding them. So we go in and talk to the companies and find out what kind of needs they have and try to see what we can do to help. Obviously in the state of Illinois, the first thing they always say is, you know, can you do something about workers' comp and those kind of things. We can't always help with that, but we can help with workforce needs. Sometimes they have utility issues, road easements, sewer concerns, things that we can help with immediately, so we try to do that. And we're focusing mostly on manufacturing, but we've also expanded to healthcare and retail. And one final note, we are working with Lewis and Clark College to apply for a Youth Career Pathways grant, and that's to provide opportunities for youth to connect to careers in IT, automotive, welding, and transportation, distribution, and logistics. So we're applying for that grant. That's about a $500,000 grant, and that'll be in by the 1st of February. Good. Any questions for me? I think Sarah has.
No, we continue to administer the existing on-the-job training contracts at Worldwide Technologies. To date, we've paid over $200,000 in new hire training costs, reimbursed those to the company. We've got pending incumbent worker training contracts right now. We actually just got one signed with Imperial Manufacturing, or I'm sorry, we've done four with Imperial Manufacturing in Alton. That fourth one just wrapped. We are looking at doing a few new contracts, one with Cope Plastics in Alton. We just got a contract signed with Bass Mallette Publishing in Greenville, and that is part of our two county consortium, Madison Lawn Workforce Innovation.
Yeah, again, our money is federal. We're drawn up in a two county area. We cover Madison and Bond County, so we work with businesses in either county.
What was the Greenville? You said?
Bass Mallette Publishing.
Okay.
And we've been speaking to additional companies in Madison and Bond about potential projects in the future as well.
I do have a question. Sure. So you've obviously been helping a lot more people than you previously had. Is that throw off your budget for later, or does that allow you to apply for more?
We can always go back and ask for more if we need to. Right now, we're not at our threshold for doing that, but we can go back to the state and ask for more money based on our numbers. But trade affected folks like U.S. Steel, that comes out of a separate grant that's administered separately than our usual funding.
Okay.
So somebody that works at Kmart will get funded differently than somebody that works at U.S. Steel. So we have different funding streams that we work with.
Okay.
But usually, if we run out of money, we can usually get more.
Okay. So nothing to be really.
No, not at this point. Now, if we have 100 people show up tomorrow, we may have to go to the state. But that won't happen.
Any other questions? Thank you for your time.
I have a question for
you. Oh, sure.
You know, you were talking about some of the manufacturing and craft trades,
uh-huh.
I think you said, training. You know, a lot of those guys in Granite City and women, too, the people in the steel mill, they have electricians and they have plumbers that mm-hmm. they have trained themselves there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it... You know, so there's a lot of those folks that have been displaced that are already, they're ready to go to work tomorrow.
We do try to promote them within the industry to find other jobs for them as well.
Okay.
the thing with U.S. Steel is that everybody anticipates getting called back. So they're going to go. They're going to go to school and upgrade their skills, but get them to take another job at this point is kind of tough. We have had some that have taken other jobs.
Yeah.
We do try to promote their resumes and their skills to other companies in similar industries, though.
Yeah.
It's part of what we do.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And then the other thing too, I was just going to say, I know you mentioned workman's comp. Uh-huh. I know it's a big issue in Illinois, and I suspect, I don't know this for a fact, but you know, U.S. Steel is keeping plants open in. Well, I know they are in Pittsburgh and in Indiana,
right?
Because the cost of employment is less in those states. Workman's comp is a lot higher in Illinois, and so I know you said there's nothing you can really do about it. But one of the things I think you are in a position to say, it's an issue, you know. And I think that because we tend to just bury our heads in the sand, and we have to address that if we really want.
Agree, and I think that's what the Leadership Council really tries to do, is be an advocate for those business.
Yeah.
Problems like that.
The state also, there's an initiative that we were working on locally with business retention and expansion, but now there's a state initiative, it's called CORE, and they are wanting to aggregate that data from employers. Everyone hears that as a complaint from employers, but to be able to put that in a report, have the data aggregated to move on up the line to policymakers is something that they're working on.
Yeah, because I think we have to make the state realize it is a problem, because I think sometimes the state still kind of pushes it off like it's not as big a deal as it is.
Yeah, and you know, and the average Joe public doesn't understand it either. They think that they're, you know, I mean, U.S. Steel is paying a guy $35 an hour in Illinois and in Pittsburgh and in Indiana. They're paying the same wage. It just costs more for other costs of employment. You know, if we really want those people to stay, they're just doing the math. They're like, we can make steel in Indiana and it's $50 a ton, in Illinois it's $60. So we're gonna go to Indiana.
Right, and every state around us. Now Missouri is also going to right to work, so that's gonna increase the competition as well.
Yeah. Well, and it isn't always right to work either, but it's
right,
it's,
but I mean, I think the doors are gonna be open.
Oh yeah, they're going to right to work. Yeah, it's gonna make it even tougher, right? Yeah, that's absolutely. Right, yeah. But I appreciate what you're saying. I know and nothing you can do about it.
I think, you know, that's why we try to partner with the Leadership Council to, you know, we always can't be an advocate for those kind of things, but I think the Leadership Council regionally can do that.
Yeah, because, you know, those 2,000 people there, they just want a job.
Right.
Most of them aren't looking to get on workman's comp.
No.
I mean, there's 200 that probably are, but the 2,000, if they knew it was an issue, they'd be pushing to say, we need to change this, you know, because they want to go, they want to just have a job.
Sure, it's not educated all the way down to that level or whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment. I'm a member of SOAR. That's Retired Steelworker Teachers, Teachers Aid. I am very proud to hear the work that you are doing. It's so much needed to understand these people out of work. You know, I am still employed, but I hear it when I go to my SOAR meetings, you know, and SOAR stands for getting people back to work and things like that.
Thank you, sir.
But I really appreciate
our staff is really the ones in the committee. They work with them day in and day out. So.
Thank you.
Moving on, we have the MCCD update. 2017 grants committee meeting schedule.
Okay, so you all have received by now the 2017 meeting schedule for the grants committee. It's standard, same as the previous years, but we do want to know if there's a conflict for anyone that we would change it. You can let us know now.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm looking at February. You have February the 6th, which is the first Monday in the month. Usually we meet on the second Monday. So are you changing that date? Are you changing to the first Monday now instead of the second? Am I correct? We meet the second Monday?
Right, but yeah. I think I heard buildings
say but
say
that. It might be President's Day.
Yes.
Oh, is it a holiday?
Yes,
or
because of the holiday, they ask us to have.
Because I heard buildings say the 6th also. So there was
That's the reason?
Yeah.
Okay. And the same thing for March. It looked like it's an earlier.
Yeah, week. Linda called me on that. She said that was correct. We had talked about it.
The February the 6th.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because the grants, or the board meets the third Wednesday of the month.
Yes.
Okay, so the Monday before that, and then the Monday before that is when we meet. We meet two Mondays before county board meets. two Mondays prior.
No.
No.
One.
One.
Right?
No.
No.
County
well,
board.
It's two.
It's two because we usually meet it's the second Monday second of each week. Month.
Yeah. Because the county board.
The way the county board, the way the board meetings fall on
those
months.
So there would be two before. That's fine. That's correct.
This is the.
But this is because of the holiday in those 2 months. That's why it's earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you see that?
You probably have it in your packet.
March.
You got one in your packet.
Yeah, March the 6th. Okay, what's in March?
Yeah, what's in March?
Pulaski.
Alpalaska.
I need a calendar.
Is it?
Is the county calls on Pulaski
today?
The county?
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
No, we don't
get
that
off for Pulaski.
No, we don't.
Okay.
No.
What is March?
They get every other.
We were given the dates from the board office, and Nadine.
We can double check it. I'll double check it. But Linda did call me on those too, so.
I don't know.
Do you want to? Does the board want to table this until the next meeting, approval of it?
Does anybody have a calendar?
The next meeting is.
A calendar?
February 6th.
I don't have my phone. I left my phone out at the office.
Jane, what's the question?
Yeah. Didn't you go into the went to the county board office and ask them to confirm? Oh, it's after 4:30 now. We can email confirmation on those dates and the reason why. That would be helpful.
Okay, in February, what's the third Wednesday?
Oh, she's got a calendar there.
15.
Okay, so the Monday before that is what date?
6th.
That's right.
No,
no,
she said
not.
The Monday before the 15th.
Is the 11th.
The first 15th, Wednesday 14th. Is the first.
No, what's the third Wednesday in February?
15th.
Okay, so the 13th is the Monday before that, and the Monday before that is what?
That's
right. Then that's right.
To move it up.
Then
that's
right.
To meet before
these
the
are right.
county board meeting.
March.
And that's
and
when
that
it
happens.
Starts on a Wednesday. Yeah,
that happens.
March is the same way.
March is the same way, correct?
So
they're right.
March.
It's not because
they're
of the holidays.
Right.
No,
because of the way
because
the calendar.
Because of the county board.
Yeah,
the
okay.
county board.
Maybe because of. No.
Yeah. That's
no,
right.
We've done it. Yeah, we've done it before.
All right.
When you need me, I'll be there.
Any other questions? Any other questions or comments on it? So I'll entertain a motion to approve it.
Thank you, Dave.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. All right, community, moving on to the community development.
Okay, we have a lot going on. I want to thank the board members who have come to community development and met with the staff and asked us questions. And very exciting to have a grants committee that participates in an entire county board that wants to really see Madison County grow and thrive and rise. And it's a beautiful thing. So, first of all, for those of you who don't have email, I brought a copy of our most recent newsletter and some old ones so you can compare it. We've made some changes. We have removed any type of photos, stories that are administration driven and kept them more about our service partners. Our business partners, we've made it more about events in the community, fundraisers that our service partners have. We want to make it more about the people that serve the people of Madison County and about economic development, which we are trying to drive. So Lisa in our office has done a wonderful job making the changes and gearing it to what Helen has, and I think it's got a very good response.
Excuse me, is Lisa here? Or?
She isn't here. She worked until 4:30, and then she has some young children that she.
Okay.
Are there questions I should take back?
No. I just noticed she wasn't here, and she's normally here, and I wondered.
Yes.
Where she was.
She's also made some great changes to the website as well. We've changed it to where it's more about the staff as a whole and about our service providers and our business partners and things of those nature. So she's done a great job quickly making those changes and making it more about partnership. And if you can pass these around, we're having for John Herzog, who most of you probably know passed away and was an amazing economic development leader in Madison County Community Development. Passed away in September, so we're having a scarf drive in his honor, because he always wore scarves. And we love him, and he's really missed in the office, even for people who didn't get to spend a lot of time with him. So we're having some upcoming events in January for those who are experiencing homelessness. So the scarves that we collect will be used in conjunction with some of these activities that we have coming up. Dave Harrison, you may have read in the newspaper, he has led our homeless and transitional housing team in receiving an additional $1.89 million in HUD grants to serve the homeless and transitional housing. So I'm going to let Dave talk a little bit about that, and I'm going to pass out.
Could I ask, who has John's position? I forgot.
Nobody filled it. Actually, James Arnold in our office learned a lot of John's.
No, I know he knows a lot.
Yeah, he picked up a lot on it. He absorbed. So I'm going to be driving a lot of the economic development and that we're doing. And James is providing a lot of the enterprise zone and additional things that John's wisdom passed along to him.
John's shoes will be hard to fill.
Impossible. So Dave, do you want to?
I'll take it.
Okay, take it.
Excuse me. So my name is David Harrison. I coordinate what's called the Madison County Partnership to End Homelessness, which is run out of the Community Development Office. We have a couple of large events that we sponsor each year. One is our point in time count of homelessness. It's required by the Department of Housing and Urban Development that we conduct an annual count. That always is required of us during the last 10 days of January. So we get to go out in the cold and look for folks that are sleeping kind of rough. This year, that is happening on January 23rd. We do this in conjunction with another event that we are in our eighth year of now, called Project Homeless Connect. So we use that to raise awareness of homelessness in Madison County, as well as counting those people who are experiencing homelessness. We're looking for volunteers to go out with us to hit the streets and conduct a survey of folks who are literally homeless. The folks that are in shelters, and a lot of others that are living doubled up with another family. We're usually able to engage through our service providers. So all of our providers that are members of the partnership help us with this count. Last year we counted 419 individuals that were homeless in Madison County. Unfortunately, 49% of those were children. So this year we want to get that count going again and see what our numbers are. I'm reporting these numbers to HUD every year, and of course we like to see those numbers go down. And so does HUD, of course. So I'm just sharing this information with you. If you could get the word out to any of your constituents that we are doing this count. It's a very difficult population to engage and encounter, so we know that we're missing people every year. So we try to keep spreading the word. If you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody who's experiencing a housing crisis, we'd like to know about it so we could get some data. The more data we have, of course, the more we can direct our services to a particular population. The current administration in Washington has been engaged in trying to end veteran homelessness. We weren't able to do that by the end of 2016, but that doesn't mean our efforts are stopping. We're continuing those efforts. So every day that I'm getting phone calls, I'm trying to help those folks find housing. Project Homeless Connect is a really, really fun event. We gather all of our service providers. We're doing it this year up at the River of Life Church on Glosterberg Road in Alton. We try to bring and engage all of our persons that are experiencing a housing crisis to the event so that they can be connected to services and eventually housed. This event also raises awareness just generally in the general public, because a lot of folks don't know that we have homeless people in Madison County. We offer a hot meal, haircuts, a goodie bag that they get to take with them of warm clothes, new socks, gloves, hats. Let's see what else. We have services available as far as medical services, health insurance, dental, vision resources. We hope to have showers. We haven't got that lined up yet. But certainly veterans assistance, legal assistance, and we have some giveaways that we also do. We're providing transportation throughout the county, so we have pickup spots in Collinsville, in Madison, in Granite City, in, I don't think we're going to Troy, Highland, but we need to work on that.
Can I ask? I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Whenever you're saying these, what, 449, are they... Those are actually homeless? Or are they someone sleeping on someone's couch? Or are they actually homeless?
In that number, we include those folks that are doubled up.
Okay, but there are some that you go out and find that are completely homeless.
Absolutely. Living in
a car. So what happens to them if they're out like that? Can you help them? You find them and you find them someplace to live so they're not left out in the cold?
Do what we can to try to get them in a shelter or in their own place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have some funding called Rapid Rehousing that we're able to use to actually pay a security deposit, first month's rent. We could even go beyond that first month's rent if necessary.
You often run into people who refuse your help and rather sleep on the street.
I would not say often, but it certainly happens.
That's sad.
They're the minority, certainly. The folks that I encounter who are literally homeless, they don't want to be literally homeless.
Sure. So you're actually going out and finding them, right? Or not?
Personally, I have, yes. But
like
most of our partners are the ones that are out doing that. So there's a lot of nonprofits that we work with, Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, our shelters in the county are all getting phone calls.
And Veterans Assistant helps you too?
Certainly. So if any of you are interested in attending our event, we would be more than happy to have you just to come by and take a look and see what's going on and all the partners that we have in this effort.
In addition, our team is sitting down next week and talking about what businesses are not participating that maybe could. So who may be able to provide some extra food that they could eat while they are at the event. What services could be provided? They talked about one year they had a massage therapist, and that was the longest line at the event. So we're looking for anyone who is interested in serving, who could provide lightweight items to put in a goodie bag, you know, bags of chips, things like that they could take with them. Any ideas, any business partners that you all know of, or would want to share this with, we would welcome more the merrier. I just want to make sure that if they do go back into the cold, that they're armed with it as much as possible. So flashlights and heating pads, even though they wear out quick, you know, they're lightweight and they help. So thank you, Dave. I don't think Dave gets enough accolades for what he does. He's very successful, if that's an appropriate term, in his services. And we're really proud to have him.
Yes. Do you find seniors?
Actually, yes, we do. Matter of fact, I got a call today about a 63-year-old woman.
I met David by finding a senior on a bench outside of Schnucks, actually, mm-hmm. and was put in touch with him. Kind of, when you're asking how people find him. I'm guessing you're in touch with the school nurses at local schools, is that?
There are homeless liaisons at each school district.
Because I know...
That's run out of, kind of coordinated out of the ROE, the regional office here.
Okay. In Edwardsville District, on days they have like a sack attack lunch, whereas everything is kind of prepackaged food, volunteers will go through the lunchroom after and collect up everything that hasn't been opened, and they're bagged up and a lot of times sent home with... They're put in the lockers of the students so that no one sees... You know, it's not an embarrassing thing, but that way
awesome.
The students go home with food for the weekend.
That's good. Awesome.
I'm a sack attack volunteer. You get your muscles that way. So we also, I'm sure you saw in the news, our community service block grant gave out 14 college scholarships for the second semester. They were previously awarded for the first semester of school. Because these students kept up their grades, they received the second part of their college scholarship, and these are individuals that are from families dealing with low-income situations, and we're very proud of them and what they've accomplished. It's amazing, and the board did a great job selecting these students.
Okay, can I ask on that? Because
sure.
We used to form a committee.
Right.
Yeah. And was there a committee this time? Or?
No, you know, we turned that over.
To that.
Right.
Other board.
The CSBG.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
They did.
They did do it.
But for a number of years, we did as a committee, we did it ourselves.
If you want to talk about it in the next round and bringing it back to the grants committee.
No, that's not what I meant. In fact, I think we combined it between the two, between that board and this. We had some from each, picked out a few of them, and but just wondered how, you know, that's good.
Okay, so LIHEAP updates. This is our low-income home energy assistance program. So I just put this together. Joe Bolt is our coordinator of this program, although we have a lot of staff. I put this together because I have a lot of questions of why does community development have so many LIHEAP workers? There's a reason why. Because we have taken in over 3,700 applications since September. We have approved over 3,000 of those, processed them so far, that we're providing energy assistance for. That's not even including the PIP funds and the furnace funds. But let me put this in perspective for you all. All of the other counties around us are not able to spend all of their LIHEAP funds, so they're having to return them. Not only have we utilized all of ours, but we are going back to the table and getting all of the other counties, because the community development staff is serving not just the low-hanging fruit, they're serving everyone. We have taken more steps to create better service, better relationships with our service providers. So we're going to receive somewhere between $400,000 and $1 million more in LIHEAP funds to serve everyone. And it's great timing, because it's just now starting to get really cold, and we're going to be able to continue serving as much as they will fund us to do. So if you know of anyone or any programs that are serving people that maybe don't know about LIHEAP, please do not hesitate to send them to our office. We want to serve them. And Robin in our office has done an amazing job with those who are in emergency situations, so they need their heat turned on now, or their electricity is getting ready to be turned off. They have children, for whatever circumstance, she is there dealing with it immediately, and our staff is on top of this stuff. We more than any other county in the state of Illinois, and that's something that this committee can be proud of, that you guys lead that effort.
No question on the LIHEAP.
Yep.
Do we only do them if they come in and sign up, or do we go to them ever?
We have service providers that we work with, so I think is it 14? 14 service providers outside of our office that take them in. But because a lot of these, a lot of the individuals who need to fill out the application or participate, they're not always computer savvy. So we actually have individuals that communicate with them. We have 10 phone lines at our office just for LIHEAP. They are constantly filled. We have 4 workers, part-time workers specifically, just to answer the phones. Once they pick up a line, it is immediately filled. We have a clerk who works as a receptionist to greet them and to help answer the phone. Then we have, we are short-staffed, bare-bone. We're trying to fill it, the positions of the clerks who actually monitor the applications, maintain the applications. So there's a lot of work that goes into running this program.
Are the township offices, don't they go in there to mm-hmm. apply to?
They can, yes.
Sure, yes. Township for one takes care of Namioke Township.
Right, and Venice Township.
That's right.
Yeah.
We take
has a lot of food pantry.
Right, we are, just so you know, we have started meeting for the past 3+ weeks. We've been meeting to figure out how we can serve more. How do we go to them more instead of the expectation of people coming to us? We want to take out all obstacles that any individuals have and not put them in a position where they're seeking help, but we are able to anticipate any kind of issues and we're able to maybe go to them before they have to seek us out. So we're not dealing with those emergency situations, but more preventative. So great job on LIHEAP. We want to talk about economic development.
All right, yes,
okay. Economic development. One more thing about community development. We did start a new committee internally in our own staff that is a grant-seeking committee. So we are, in addition to what we've been doing, we are working collaboratively to seek out new funds that we can apply for through government and private entities. And when we find these grants, we're going through them monthly. And then we decide, are we able to write for this? If not, which one of our service partners could? And what can we do as a team of experienced professional grant writers and administrators do to help them get prioritized? So maybe we can't write for the grant, maybe you can, and we can call Senator Haynes' office and help you get up prioritized, up the list. Can we provide letters from municipalities? What can we provide to support your services and not be in competition with you? So that's another thing that we're doing in community development, to be more of a leader through service and a partner. So in economic development, we are doing a lot. We had a meeting with logistics, heads of some logistics companies in our enterprise zones, and spoke with them about what obstacles they are having. And they called the meeting. They relay to us that one of their obstacles for retaining their workforce is housing. So we've started with James and his wisdom and some developers. We've started talking about what affordable housing looks like, but at a low income housing cost. So basically, we're trying to create a path because these entry-level workers, they fall into the low-income category. So they can get low-income housing, but it doesn't really make you feel like you want to go to your entry-level job when you are in dilapidated low-income housing. So we're trying to create a new face of what affordable housing with a entry-level lifestyle that provides dignity to our entry-level workforce and the people that are training and maybe in apprenticeship programs or training, retraining for a job in a high-growth occupation. In addition to that, transportation was their other obstacle. And so we've been working on creating different opportunities for transportation with our current bus system, but also with our with the logistics companies to these affordable housing opportunities that will be down the line. The transportation won't be an obstacle either, and it doesn't cost our taxpayers any more dollars. It's working with these logistics companies that to help address their obstacles for retention that we started working on. But most importantly, in our economic development, we were told to basically, we were advised by some investors, developers, some government leaders that if we held a summit, that they would bring their dollars to Madison County. So April 6th and 7th, we are having what we're calling the Mixed Summit. It is the Model Innovative County Summit. And it will be the first of its kind based on the upcoming presidential administration has said that they are going to overturn these trade agreements. All the leaders in labor and on both sides of the aisle believe that this is true. And so that being said, there will be the expectation is a rebirth of manufacturing in the United States. You already saw Ford, who is going to Mexico, turned around and went back to Michigan. So that being said, the big companies are believing that this is real, and we are hedging our bets that it's real too. That being said, there's also a commitment for infrastructure dollars from this new administration. Mr. Jones can speak to better than anyone. We are located in the best place because we have interstate, we have rail, and we have a port in our county. We have an enterprise zone that already hosts logistics or warehousing companies. So Procter & Gamble, for example, who has their warehousing here, and Mr. McRae, this aligns with what you said. Even with prevailing wage in the state of Illinois, it is cheaper to do business, to have your manufacturing business here with our workforce because their highest costs are trucking. And from Madison County, you can get anywhere in the United States in 10 hours or less. So we are in a prime position to be the model for what this new administration is assuring us that they are going to do. So that being said, we've had investors that have invested more than $10 billion in projects over the last 5 years, guarantee that they are going to come to this summit. That they will invest money if these manufacturers want to come and line up with their logistics companies. We have 12 total projects that we are going to be addressing at this summit. They include, and we sent a survey out this morning to discuss what would be everyone's top priorities, Main Street's revitalization, education, pre-K, and so on, and we will include vocational training in high schools that is missing in some communities, and higher education, job creation, which will include these manufacturing opportunities that we can get ahead of the rest of the country on, affordable housing options, which we talked about, healthcare upgrades, more specifically BJC, Southern Illinois Healthcare, what is the senior retirement golf cart community look like if we can put it in Madison County? In other words, not more assisted living, but retirement community lifestyle that provides an immediate extension to these healthcare campuses. Cybersecurity, broadband, and technology, upgrading infrastructure, which we know these dollars are going to be out there. How do we capture them first and the most effectively? Alternative energy opportunities. Ameren has been dictated to give out tens of millions of dollars in the state of Illinois for alternative energy. And in Madison County, we want to capitalize on that as much as possible, and we want to show them April 6th and 7th that we're ready to cooperate. What do you want to do? What are those dollars going to? How do they bring jobs to our county, and how do they make us efficient, effective, and lower our electric bills? Supportive and outreach services. How do we provide more meaningful services with our social service programs? How does Main Street Community Center get more money to serve the seniors? How do our food banks stay filled? How do we provide fresh produce instead of just canned and non-perishable items? All of these services, how do we do it better, bigger, and more innovative? Transportation extensions. Like we talked about, how do we provide transportation to people who want to be part of a workforce and develop that workforce? And park and recreation expansion. Obviously, if we're going to be a model, innovative community, we need to look at our parks and recreations, which falls under community development, and we need to have some competitive recreation opportunities in our county. So those are the things that we intend on putting on the agenda on the 6th and 7th. We will have representatives from Ameren here. We will have representatives from BJC and SIA. We will have representatives from Congress. We will have representatives from Springfield, from Ronard, from all of our elected officials, staffs. We are bringing SIU deans, professors, SWCC here. We're bringing everyone together who are experienced, who are innovative, who know how to do what they're doing, and we're going to tell them how can we do this best, how can we do it where we bring in the most jobs, the most dollars, the most economic development. How do we make Madison County the model innovative county? And Washington, D.C., your new administration, make us that. We will help you make us that. And so that is our strategy. We have support already from committed individuals who have dollars to attach to these projects. We're very excited about this. And so right now we're going to have it on SIU's campus. They have some space is limited there, so we're looking at a couple other places, and we are but April 6th and 7th. I hope you have it marked on your calendar. We hope to get the save the date out Friday, by Friday. And James is been working his butt off, and so is Sharon, and everybody else in the office, to make sure that we can coordinate this. We've been working with the Illinois Business Journal, with our administration, to stay in communication about this so we can make it the most effective opportunity possible. Any questions?
One of my concerns is, as we continue to develop, especially in the American Bottoms in the flood areas.
Yes.
I believe that we need the assistance of the earth and science professors, Washington University, about Chris. Excellent. There are people out there that we can use. Let's start a new day. Let's don't develop over the wetlands and continue, because in the American Bottoms, we've experienced many floods from groundwater, surface water, the problem with the levee. I want a professor of earth and science. Thank you.
Ms. Hawkins, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I did listen to your comments for a while now, and Mr. Chapman came to my office, one of the county board members, and we talked about your concerns in particular, because they're not exclusive to you. We're not talking about just developing that one enterprise zone. They want jobs in Troy. They want jobs in Highland. They want jobs in Alton. Their retail's shutting down. That's not a meaningful living anyway. So how do we bring it to the whole county and not just one, two, three areas that seem to get the most? Because we're all on these interstates. We're all close to the rail. We can all collectively become one receiving end of all of this. But I guarantee you, we will, in the infrastructure meeting, discuss the flooding and what either needs to be eliminated in the planning or evolved in some way that reduces or stops it.
I understand the entire region. I understand the business of the levee districts, all the flooding districts, and what they do. But what I represent is the American Bottoms, so that's why you're hearing from me. But I also know there's problems in other parts, and I'm very proud to hear that we will get more involved in the entire area.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we will address flooding.
Are you, these 2 dates you're talking about doing this, is this something that all counties are going to do because of the new federal administration, or is it just Madison County? Or
this is Madison County's attempt to get ahead of all the other counties.
Gotcha.
Because as soon as they hear what's out there, that they're going to go try to get it too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Michigan's already working on it because Ford went there. Mm-hmm. That being said, we do have communications with people in the know that, you know, Rick Perry, for example, has told us this is happening, this is real. The future Secretary of State has gone to the people that we were in contact with and said this is real, this is happening. If you're smart, you would get ready. So we're going to show that our county's ready for it. We're going to bring in the minds that say, what does this look like? We're going to bring in the money that says we're willing to invest in this, and this. And we got to create jobs. We just have to. And so we have an opportunity. We have people that want to invest in us. So we have to show them that we want them to, and we can cooperate. We're not a county of division. We are a county of a strong workforce, and we are going to grow on that through Matt and Sarah and employment and training and our colleges and schools. So that's the plan. Did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Kristen, I have a question. So moving forward, and hi, I'm Sarah Ray. We haven't met directly yet, but moving forward with the economic development partnership with like the core initiative, is James, since Austin Corns has left, is James the replacement? Are you the main contact? Who, like, if we are speaking with a business, who do we go to? Is it? Do we put them as the team? So previously, John Herzog was on board with anytime we would do business retention and expansion visits. So we've had some upheaval in that group. Matt Asselmeyer with the City of Alton left. So Granite City, Alton, Madison County, and then Madison County Community Development and Employment and Training were all on the same team with the chambers. So do we contact James for that position, or?
They can contact me directly.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
So we do have a core meeting in this month. We'll have to send you a calendar invite for that.
Perfect, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay.
And I hope that both of our departments are able to communicate more and collaborate more and kind of be on the same page on some issues. I look forward to that.
Could you come to our SOAR meeting sometimes? And
sure.
Describe, especially the jobs.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'll find out.
Okay. I'll reach out to send you my information.
Thank you.
Sure.
Moving on, any old business? As there is none. Next meeting date, Monday, February 6, 2017. I'll entertain motion to end the meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, there we go. Just under an hour.